I think most of the world probably knows by now that we've got our sixth grandchild. It seems to have hit the internet, and by that time then it certainly gets around with various people passing the news on, which is glad news really as far as all are concerned. And he was born about, whenever he was, on Sunday. About 6:21, was it? Okay, 6:21. You've got to check with your wife to find these kind of times out. But anyway, it was last Sunday. And he's had a week of looking at life, and certainly he's looking around more and more now and taking notice of what's going on around him a great deal. But, you know, one thing that is in his advantage is that he's being brought up within a family. And there's so many today that just simply aren't. They just haven't got the family. I mean, and again, people try and redefine the family. They try and define the family as a man and a man, or a woman, and all this other nonsense. But a family, basically, at its heart and core, is a husband with his wife and their children. That's the family. And yet we've lost this, and we've gone away from it to a degree that it seems almost incredible when you consider. But when you look at the newspapers and you look at the various articles in the news, certainly you can see that not just this country, not just America, and just Ephraim and Manasseh, but around the world there are problems with the family, problems with the teachings that have for millennia, in many cases, been taught. There's one here from South Korea. It says, South Korea overturned sex deception law. South Korea has overturned a law which banned men from luring women into bed with promises of marriage, and that has now been overturned. So even in South Korea, you know, you think that that is an area that you'd think... It hangs on to its Confucius principles, or whatever the principles were of that particular area. But over here, we've got various articles that appear. There's one here that it says, children must learn to of honor violence. It says, children must be taught of dangers of forced marriages. If a government strategy to tackle violence against women is to be effective, campaigners said yesterday. Ministers were warned that honour-based violence is one of the biggest issues. And another comment from the Telegraph, this is on Thursday, November the 26th, it says, as part of a new strategy to tackle domestic abuse, the government intends to introduce mandatory classroom instruction in gender equality and violence against women and girls. That's not where you learn these things. First of all, the young ladies need to learn how to be young ladies, not... The Luddites, Luddettes as they call them, that are going around and boozing as much as the boys are. And yet the boys shouldn't be doing that either. They should be learning in the home how to be gentlemen. And if they're taught how to be gentlemen, and the women are then taught how in fact to behave as they should do as ladies, then that's where the teaching comes from. Another one here, this is from Thursday, November 24th. Expelled from primary school, a thug, aged four. Four-year-old individual, boy of four, described as a thug, has been one of the youngest pupils to be expelled in Britain. And there's no mention in the article that I can see of his father whatsoever, but his mother is defending him to the hilt. You can look at another one as far as the teaching is concerned. Pupils taught not to bully transsexuals. It says children as young as five are to have lessons in gender equality as part of the first national strategy to tackle violence against women and girls, and older children will also be taught as part of the national curriculum that it's wrong to hit girls and to bully transsexuals. And again, you know, where does that... Here you say older children that are just coming into puberty. What does that do to the child? How does a child look at his sexuality, because his or her sexuality? Because when they come into puberty, when they initially come into puberty, that's the time when you've got to get the lines, demarcation lines, straight. And straight as opposed to bent. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Your God, remember, we within the church are going to have to teach this in the future. If we don't get it straight ourselves... If we don't get it under our belt ourselves, we can't teach. For Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Eternal our God is one eternal, and you shall love the Eternal your God with all your heart, your soul, and your might. That is the first commandment, according to Jesus Christ. That is the first commandment, and the context of that commandment. These words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. Here's where the teaching is coming from. This is the foundation of teaching. It's the foundation that's got to be in the church. It's the foundation that's going to be in the world tomorrow. And it should be the foundation within the world, but the world has lost its way. And it's reflected within the articles that we find within our newspaper. These words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now we should be doing that with our children, our grandchildren. We should make a point of talking with them in all circumstances, when we sit and watch television, when we listen to music, so that they have a certain standard of which to learn by. It's interesting in this particular article, this particular paper, let's see what date was this, Friday, November the 20th. What exactly are atheists so scared about? It says, As I was leaving church yesterday, a nice chap called Andy called to see if I would go on Radio 2 to talk about a new billboard campaign enjoining us not to, quote, label, unquote, our children with religious tags such as Catholic child or Muslim child. Besides pictures of bonny toddlers, all white, it happened to run the tagline. And this actually was being, this is a campaign to try and stop this. And where's it coming from? It's coming from the atheist side of things, to allow children to make their own minds up. And yet it says very clearly here that you've got to point out, we have a duty to point out and say, look, you see what the result of this is? You see what's happening here? This is the result of it. And point out the result of it according to the word and the way of God. And you'll talk with them, talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And you'll bind them for a sign upon your hands, and you'll be a frontlet between their eyes, and you'll write them upon the posts of your house and in your gates. Now, they used to do that literally in days gone by. But certainly in the new covenant of the Spirit and not the letter, as it talks about the ministers of the new covenant over in 2 Corinthians 3, we should be making sure that this is true, that they are bound as a sign upon our hands, upon what we do, and a frontlet between our eyes in the way we think and how we operate. And you write them upon the post of your house and your gates. In other words, they need to be here within our very homes. They need to be implemented in our homes. They need to be implemented in the jurisdiction that we have over the television set, for instance. These are the areas that we need to be make sure that... That is the case. Because the real problem is, when you go out into the world, that you find a whole bevy of examples which are wrong. I mean, this is from Thursday, December the 3rd. Forgive me for I have sinned, says Tiger Woods. I mean, anybody that's been watching the news at all, or hearing the news at all, this business about Tiger Woods. And three young ladies on the front, pictured, and quite frankly, I don't know, if somebody sells their body for sex, what is that person defined as? A prostitute. It doesn't mean to say that, it doesn't matter whether in fact that person sells her body for sex and the money that she has isn't in cash. Credit card, master charge is probably just as good, or in kind is also just as good. And if that is the kind of relationship that you have with somebody, you are prostituting yourself. And that is clearly evidenced within Scripture. And yet there's not a hint within the papers about the type of woman that we're talking about and what it makes that type of woman. Another one here. Housewives dare to bear with a classic sense of taste. Most dare to bear, others maintain their modesty, but this was one charity calendar in which the women involved ensured that any nudity was the best possible taste. And the pictures and so on to accompany it and draw your eye to that. But, this particular one was, let's see, what was it? The Housewives in Art calendar features women who have been affected by cancer recreating classic paintings. So these classic paintings, several of them in nude, are recreated in this particular calendar. But that is the area that you look at as far as examples are concerned, and children that are growing up within our society are looking at these adults and looking at that as an example as to what to do. So how can we then criticise the children when they go ahead and engage in nudity or whatever? Airbrushed models make women feel inadequate. Women are suffering from poor self-esteem because of advertising campaigns which feature airbrushed models to portray unattainable perfection, a survey has claimed. And you get this anorexia that is all part of it. That's again, these are just from the last two or three weeks. Another one from Friday, December the 4th, 2009. It says, I was a stroppy, argumentative drunk. Someone would send me over a drink. We go home together, confesses Sally Burklow. This individual is the wife of the Speaker of the House of Commons, a person who says, order, order, and conducts the entire business of the House of Commons. She's coming out and giving all this pass. Why? Because she wants to come into politics. Why does she want to come into? Why does she do this before coming into politics? In case it gets out and gives the papers something to go ahead and get hold of. So she comes out with it early, then she can go into politics with all this lot behind her. And that's, again, what it's the example that is being looked at here. Turn over to Deuteronomy 17. Turn over a few pages. Deuteronomy chapter 17. It says here in verse 14, it says, when you come into the land which the Eternal your God gives you, and you possess it, and you shall dwell therein, and say, I will set a king over me, like as the nations that are about me. Now, this was actually inserted within Deuteronomy by Samuel. This is a section that is inserted by Samuel at the canonization time of David, around the time of David and Samuel. You shall in any wise set a king over you, who the Eternal shall choose. From among your brethren shall you set a king over you. You may not set a stranger over you, which is not your brother. In other words, he's got to be an Israelite born and bred. You know, we cannot have what we've got in America today. That simply would not be the case. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, return to Egypt. It says, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, verse 17. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. So he's not going to be a little despot like all the other nations. And it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he will write him a copy of this law in a book from that which is before the priests, the Levites. So he had to take the law of God and write it out himself. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. He is to read this book to make sure he understands it and understands the application of it, that he may learn to fear the Eternal his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart is not lifted up above his brethren, that he does not turn aside from the commandment to the right, to the left, to the end, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now that is the instruction to the king. Why? Because of the example. Because of the example. And yet, as I said before, we have examples this one here, the Tory MP, his mistress, and 30,000 plans for a love nest. That was blazoned across the Telegraph, right? Big, bold letters. And that was dated, Friday, November the 20th again. And all kinds of other examples. 50 happy years for a sex swap pioneer. This is a transsexual that apparently was one of the first ones. Love triangle, PC batters a fiance, is his fiance to death. Threat to my lover by Belle de Jour, and all the other nonsense that goes along with that. And you say, well, where is the standard? Where is the example that what are we looking at? Well, we're looking at this example here as far as the king is concerned. But you see, the priests also, and remember, we are to be king priests in the future. The priests also have got to teach this law and make sure that the law is understood and not just understood, but is applied in the various circumstances that you'll come across in daily life, and applied to the environment and the society that they find themselves in. And so, really, if we were to analyse and say, well, where is the problem with the societies that we've got today? The problem is with the religious leaders. That's where the problem is. That's what Christ nailed as far as the problem is concerned. And that is the problem within our society today. The religious leaders have thrown out the laws of God. And as a consequence, the people have no direction whatsoever. They've also caved in as far as evolution is concerned, because they don't understand the beginning of Genesis for a start. And they're just completely caught on a left foot, and they have no concept as to how to handle the present modern world and apply these words, the spiritual intent of these words, into the modern world. And that's where the problems have come from. They've thrown away these words. Now, not only that, but they themselves are then becoming bad examples. There's one here. This is from Thursday, November the 26th. Woman RE teacher seduce pupil on Facebook. Now, this is an RE teacher, that's a religious education teacher. And this woman, a teacher of religious education, so it should be teaching these words anyway, a female religious studies teacher who seduced a 15-year-old pupil after being appointed as his school mentor was jailed for 32 months yesterday. But that gives an idea of the direction of which our society is going. And that really reflects a society. It is a society that is going in a certain direction. It's a society that cannot teach its young. It's a society, therefore, that has its the examples which are horrendous towards the young. And the society then spirals down. And as I say, you see this within the newspapers. You see it in the insane side of things. You get the insane areas. Like, is it sexist to say you are like a trifle? It says, a counsellor who compared a female college to a trifle has been forced to apologise for using sexist language. Brian Haley, the Labour Cabinet Member for Environment on Harringay, North London, was told to apologise to Laura Edge, a Liberal Democrat, after using the term during a debate on a bus ticket. During the debate, Mr. Haley said, "This is another example of a not-thought-through policy by the Lib Democrats. I'm concerned that you put up with their proper costings attached to them. I do have to say, Councillor Edge, that you're a bit like a trifle, very sweet and very lightweight," which I thought was very cutting. Miss Edge stormed out of the chamber and Miss Haley was forced to apologise. But again, there's an insanity there. As I say, there is an insanity in that. Another one, our baby was kidnapped, and this one is more. This one really riles you. Our baby was kidnapped by social services. A couple have accused social services of kidnapping their 9-week-old daughter for adoption. They allege that police and council staff forced their way into their home, took the baby away when they were physically restrained, and they claim they were not allowed even to cuddle the child or say goodbye. Now, it's coming into a society which is almost fascist in its outlook on children. It is evil. Another one here. Scientists fail to find any porn virgins. Scientists who set out to study the effects of pornography could not find any 20-year-old men who had not been exposed to X-rated material. So they're stymied. They couldn't find anybody to contrast with the thing. Researchers at the University of Montreal were trying to find people that had never been exposed to pornography to compare with others. But as Professor Simon Lewis said, Jeunesse said, he hit a dead end. We started our research seeking men in their 20s that had never consumed pornography, and we couldn't find any. But he went on, they went on to say, well, it doesn't make any difference. And if they can't find anybody that hasn't been looking at it, how can they say it doesn't make any difference? It's total nonsense. And as I say, there is an insanity there. Another insane result. Girls aged 3 worry about their weight. Girls have been worrying about their appearance and weight from the age of 3, a study has found. Research among preschool girls found that 50% were anxious about how they looked, while a third wanted to lose weight or change their hair colour. 3. Age 3. And I mean, nothing to do with family as such, but just to give you an idea of how far we've come, just something was handed to me from the paper today, or from the paper today. And this is, sell you a sandwich, sorry, you might choke, says train steward. A train steward refused to sell a passenger an egg sandwich because he might choke on it. Chris Haynes had gone to the buffet car after the crew announced that everybody on board would get a free soft drink as compensation for the train breaking down. After suffering the long delay and lengthy queue to be served, Mr. Haynes was understandably hungry. He saw some egg sandwiches on sale behind the bar that looked appetizing, but when the 58-year-old came to order, he was astonished to be told that he couldn't buy one. Mr. Haynes explained that he was not trying to get a free meal, he was happy to pay, but the steward again told him he couldn't sell him a cat sandwich. Recalling the bizarre exchange yesterday, Mr. Haynes said that when I asked the man why not, he said it was for health and safety reasons. I told him I don't understand how health and safety came into selling a hungry, stranded passenger an egg sandwich on a broken-down train. Mr. Haynes said that when he asked for an explanation a second time, the steward replies, "Don't you see, if the train has to be evacuated, you could choke to death on the sandwich." So because you could choke to death on the sandwich as you ran from the train being evacuated, you can't go ahead, he couldn't sell you one. Insanity. Absolute. Just insanity. And if you turn over to Jeremiah 2, I go back to this one. But it is true that here is a generation that has thrown away the word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 2, has a nation, verse 11, changed their gods, which are yet no gods. In other words, you go to any other gods around the world, and you find all these different ideas. And do you find any of them changing their gods? You go down to India and find them changing their gods? Saudi Arabia and changing their gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. This is Jeremiah 2, verse 12 now. Be astonished, O heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid, you desolate, says the Eternal. He says, look, there are a bunch of raving lunatics down there, and all the heavens are my witness as I look down and see what is actually going on. For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountains of living water. These words are words of life. Actually, this morning I was reading, what is a true gospel? What is the true gospel? Just the booklet there, because I was sent something by somebody from another organization, totally nothing to do with the church at all. And I thought, well, shall I send them back a link to the true gospel or shan't I? Or is that going to be before swine, pearls before swine? And I decided not to. But I was reading that. But they are the fountains of living water. Living waters to actually understand the meaning of life, the purpose of existence, why we are here on this earth. And instead, they hew them out cisterns. They manufacture these things for health and safety. You can't even buy a sandwich on a train that's broken down. They hew them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. And this is the result. And where is it coming from? It's coming from the lack of proper family instruction. And it's coming from a state that is trying to take over from the family in a Nazi-like fashion. And that is going to, you go back to Nazi Germany. Look what happened to the institutionalized children in Nazi Germany. Does it work? No, it doesn't. So why is the government doing it? Why is the country doing that? Because they've thrown away the living waters. That's why. They've thrown away the spiritual side of life. They wonder why they've got chaos on their hands. And this is why we have got to make sure that we put this spiritual side of life back into place within our own families and homes. But they've thrown out the living waters, hewed them out systems, broken systems that can hold no water. And if you go over the page to chapter 4, in chapter 4, it says, verse 19, my bowels, I'm pained in the very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I can't hold my peace because you've heard, my soul, the sound of the shofar. It's a time of war, an alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. The result is going to be the destruction of the entire country, and the countries that implement this kind of nonsense. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are fools. They have not known me. They are sottish children. And they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, But to do good, they don't even have any knowledge. They've become amoral. They don't even know right from wrong, let alone choosing the wrong. They don't even know it. I brought out before that I remember talking to somebody about the immorality of her daughter. Not her daughter, but the man that her daughter was about to marry. And because he was away sleeping around with various other girls. And I said, you know, I don't give the marriage any chance at all. And the mother was absolutely indignant. He says, what are you talking about, immoral? Of course he's not immoral. He doesn't buy South African oranges. That was the result. That was what they looked at. They looked at buying South African oranges as whether you're moral or whether you are not moral. Because South Africa being apartheid and all this kind of nonsense. And yet the marriage lasted barely 2 years. Why? Because the guy was immoral. That's why. So, again, we've got to make sure we place the entire situation into its proper position. And the effects are... quite frankly, I mean, there's all kinds of effects that go beyond. It says that generation betrayed. This has been a singularly bad week for the Labour government in two areas of policy on which it wished to be judged, the NHS and education. It's talking about, let's have a look, is this the one I wanted? Maybe it's not. Oh no, sorry, beg your pardon. Wrong one. Wrong one. The deal that really could save the world. Now, this is going into Africa, and those of you in Africa that are logging in, just listen to this. Did you know that one of the main causes of the spread of AIDS is truck drivers? In the early days of HIV, a study showed that more than half of all freight drivers in Africa had the virus. Half of all freight drivers. And more than three quarters regularly had sex with prostitutes along their routes. And it didn't take an epidemiologist to predict what would then happen next. What turned these outbreaks into a plague, however, was not the mere lack of medical infrastructure, but pointless customs rules. At the border between Kenya and Tanzania, to take one example. So looking at the border between Kenya and Tanzania, you have to leave your cargo for at least 3 days before moving on. Enterprising businessmen then set up a complex of brothels to cater for the captive audience, and so was born an HIV hotspot because of the customs rules. The problems have not been tackled, the delays are still in place, the brothels are still packed, and on paper a solution was agreed years ago, border crossing time should be slashed, and the World Bank would pump in money to clean up the brothels. But this hasn't been done. But I want you to notice, is that the answer? Customs rules? Or is the moral side of things the answer? Well, it's the moral side of things the answer. But, you know... that's not the way it looks at all. Another one. Generations of boys turned into criminals. A generation of working class boys are being transformed into misfits and criminals by the education system, a report has found. Is it by the education system? It says, it claims thousands of boys from the poor white British and black Caribbean backgrounds were being consigned to a lifetime of crime, drugs and prison after being failed at school. The report blames the ideological fads of the left-wing educational establishment. But again, what are they doing? They're taking over for the parental side. They're taking over from parental control. And as I've just read before, social services have marched in there and taken over and taken children out of the homes instead of putting the morality back into the homes. To give you an example as far as that's concerned, another one here from Monday, November the 16th. Fathers vanish for the children of divorce. Tens of thousands of children lose contact with their fathers each year because of a failing family court system and disastrous custody arrangements, a study has found. One in three children whose parents separated or divorced over the last 20 years said that they have lost contact permanently with their fathers. One in three. And again, where's the answer? Better courts? No, it's not the answer. Families are the answer. Putting the emphasis back into morality is the answer. That is the way in which it needs to be, that it will be tackled. And those that will, in fact, implement that are the ones that you know, will have to learn how to actually put these things back into place. We've got to learn that now. It goes into infertility. It says stop all the clocks. It says, and as an increasing number of women delay motherhood at the risk of losing their fertility, one doctor believes he's found the answer, pausing biological time by freezing ovarian tissue. Is that the answer? Or is it to get... I mean, why do these women have to go out to work to get high-powered jobs? Because a family cannot live on one wage alone. And therefore the women have been forced out to work. You can tax two people then instead of one. That's really the heart and core of the thing. And when you're looking at that, where's that coming from? A Nazi-like ideology. A dictatorial, totalitarian ideology. And we're seeing it over and over and over again. And the result are people who are devastated. Another one, this is coming from Saturday, November the 21st. Sexual revolution doomed my sister to an early death, says Martin Amis. Now, Martin Amis, who was the... Martin and also Sally Amis were the children of Hillary Amis, wasn't it? It says, Martin Amis has claimed that the sexual revolution played a pivotal part in the destruction of his sister, Sally, who became one of its most spectacular victims. The author's younger sister died in 2000, age 46, after suffering from years from alcoholism and depression. So the sexual revolution, yeah, go ahead, go out there, enjoy yourself. And it results in what? Alcoholism and depression because of it. Why? Because you're not living in a stable relationship, in a stable home between husband and wife and their children. God, you know, Jesus Christ created all things. He created the family. He created us. Did he not also, this word of God, does that word of God have not have the right to determine our morality as well as our reality? This is the thing. It defines our reality. Right now it defines what we are. And once you get that straight, you can then see that it defines the morality as well. And it gives the result is happiness and joy and so on. Living waters instead of broken cisterns. And... let's just read once more over in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. It says, professing themselves to be wise. It says, because when, in verse 21, when they knew God, they had an awareness of God, they can see the evidence that there is an individual who has vast intelligence that has created the reality that we find ourselves in. This did not come about by blind chance. You cannot go ahead and say this just happened. Because when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but they became vain, arrogant, self-conceited in their imaginations, and their foolish heart then was darkened. Once that happened, the entire way of looking at things is darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, they became idiots. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And they do. Climate change, all the various problems that they're looking at as far as the animals and plants and so on, they do not regard man. They put man into that instead of saying, look, man has got a divine responsibility to look after this planet. He has got the potential to become the Son of God. That's the position that man holds. Yes, he's made clay the same as the animals, but we are not a higher chimp. We are a lower god. And that's the difference. And he says, and even in verse 28, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, in their education, in their understanding, in their formal education, that's what he's talking about, gnosis. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. And he's talking about the homosexual problem in the preceding verses and the everything that's flowing from that, being filled with all unrighteousness, and then he lists the whole bevy of unrighteousness that then flows from it. And all you have to do is to look at the family structure that we've got today and the problems within our family structures and regard those as the crucible for the next generation. And it is the crucible for the next generation. It's where the generation comes from. It's where our entire people come from. Should be from a family. And if that is not in place, then every single possible problem will come as a result of that. And we see it continually within our newspapers today. And as I say, it becomes very pertinent to us as grandparents because of a recent addition that has actually made its way into the Munro clan.